Is a group of Spanish nuns about to be excommunicated? Stick around to find out. Well, Pope Francis became Pope in 2013, and since then we've seen all sorts of people who have reacted to this pontificate. Many of those reactions include ones of dissatisfaction, whether by or because of legitimate grievances with Pope Francis or maybe misunderstandings. There's a lot of people who are very discontent with Pope Francis, and there's also, you know, add to that, in particular cases, liturgies poorly celebrated, and there becomes this disposition of dissatisfaction where people then even begin to question Vatican II, and they say, well, you know, the liturgy was reformed with Vatican II, and I'm seeing really bad stuff and abuses. Maybe it's because there's a problem with Vatican II. So we're seeing a lot of people question, well, maybe there's a problem with Pope Francis, and then maybe there's also a problem with Vatican II, and there's, again, a lot of dissatisfaction. This has caused a lot of people to ask questions like, well, is Pope Francis actually the Pope? Is Vatican II a legitimate ecumenical council? These are at least just a few of the reasons why some people are beginning to ask this question. And as we've seen, some people have concluded that, well, you know what? Vatican II is not a legitimate ecumenical council. And others have also said, well, Pope Francis isn't actually the Pope. He couldn't possibly be the Pope. To say the things that he says, there's just no way that he is the Pope. Or to teach the things that he teaches, there's just no way that he is the Pope. And so some people have concluded, well, Pope Francis actually isn't the Pope, and we currently don't have a Pope. That is what we would call sedevacantism, the view that the chair of St. Peter is currently empty. And there's different kinds of sedevacantists. There's people who would accept all the popes up until Pope Francis and then say that Pope Francis isn't the Pope. There's others who go all the way back to Pius XII and say, you know, Pius XII was the last pope, and, you know, all the popes after that, John the 23rd, all the way to Francis, are actually not popes at all, and therefore Vatican II is not a legitimate ecumenical council. And none of the people who claim to be the pope since pretty much Pius XII, which would be 1962, none of those guys are actually popes. Well, that's actually what is taking place now with a group of Poor Clare nuns in Spain. And in fact, I did a video previously talking about it, but there are some developments to this story that I wanted to address with y'all. Now, in response to this new emergence of sedevacantism, especially a new form that says, well, we might accept Vatican II, and we even accept, you know, John Paul II, and we'll accept Benedict, but we won't accept Pope Francis. He's not the real Pope. There is no Pope. With the emergence of this new strand of sedevacantism, I've often pointed out that according to the Code of Canon Law, Canon 751, anybody who says that Pope Francis isn't the Pope, they're automatically excommunicated, because that is the sin of schism. They're cutting themselves off from communion with Christ's church when they reject the successor of St. Peter by saying there currently isn't a successor of St. Peter, when in fact there is. So according to canon law, they're cutting themselves off. This is the sin of schism, and they're excommunicating themselves. I've often pointed this out, but a lot of people have dismissed it. After all, what am I other than just a theologian with a webcam? And so a lot of people have felt free to just kind of dismiss what I've said about this, but it's going to be a little bit harder to do that now that bishops are starting to back up what I'm saying with action. With action, not just with words, but with action. by excommunicating people within their diocese, within their territory, who claim that Francis isn't the Pope. So this is no longer just the opinion of somebody on YouTube. This is very clearly something that we are seeing bishops backing up and putting into action. And it's certainly a welcome development, because it's been a wild ride seeing how little church discipline there really has been for quite some time now. And we still need more. But we're starting to see some church discipline, at the very least, for those who begin to say that Pope Francis isn't the Pope. We're starting to see bishops stand up in their own territory and say, okay, this is a line you can't cross. This is schism. You're excommunicated. So that brings us to this situation with the poor Clares. Let me share my screen so that we can take a look at it together. So excommunication looms for renegade group of poor Clares in Spain. This is the Archbishop of Burgos, Mario Akita. Again, did a video previously pointing out where he was issuing warnings to a group of nuns within his diocese that are saying Francis isn't the Pope, Vatican II is not legitimate, and we're now going under the authority of this other bishop. And this other bishop has actually been excommunicated a few years ago. The reason why he was excommunicated is because he had the audacity to undergo a sacrilegious event where he attempted to get ordained again by a set of a Contis bishop. Why? Because he didn't consider his original ordination to be valid, because it's an ordination that comes from the post-conciliar form. So he got reordained. Well, the Catholic Church excommunicated that bishop. Now these poor Clare nuns are saying, hey, we want to be under him. There's some interesting developments with that story and perhaps some motivations for why they made this turn that you'll see here in a moment. The Ecclesiastical Court of the Archbishopric of Burgos in Spain has formally accused the poor Clare nuns of the Monastery of Belorado with schism, launching proceedings that could soon result in the excommunication of the renegade nuns. So in other words, making this official, declaring it. Now, obviously, there's a difference between an excommunication that is interior and one that is actually declared by the bishop. Anybody who says Francis isn't the Pope, they're just maintaining a schismatic position such as that, they're already interiorly, with the interior bonds that unite them to Christ and the church, they're already cutting themselves off. But they might still externally, if you will, be in a clerical state or be a religious in the church. And so a little bit more needs to be done on part of the bishop in saying, hey, okay, you guys are no longer in good standing, or you're now dismissed from the religious life or the clerical state and so on. So again, it's already there's an aspect that is automatic whenever you embrace this sin of schism. And then there's another aspect where the bishop might need to declare some things. Launching proceedings that could soon result in the excommunication of the renegade nuns, the accused nuns posted on social media, which we'll take a look at here in a moment, the letter received from the court to this effect. The letter addressed to Sister Maria Sion de la Trinidad cites the referenced Mother Superior to appear before the court to testify about the schismatic positions the nuns made public last month. Again, last month they came out, Vatican II is not legitimate, Pope Francis isn't the Pope, we want to be under this other schismatic bishop. While the bishop responds by, you know, trying to dialogue with them, at this point, he sends them an actual letter saying, look, your abbess is summoned to appear in a church court to explain the situation. The letter warns the Catholic religious that if they maintain these positions, they're subject to being convicted of the crime of schism, punishable by excommunication in accordance with the canon, the code of canon law. also a dismissal from the clerical, I'm sorry, from the religious state. The court's letter specifies that both the nuns' so-called Catholic manifesto, an alleged letter of schism signed by Sister Isabel de la Trinidad, as well as their letters requesting guardianship and acceptance by the excommunicated false bishop, Bishop Rojas, constitute the crime of schism. Again, this is that false bishop, the one who tried to get reordained and thus has been excommunicated. The bishop says their actions constitute the crime of schism typified in the Code of Canon Law, Canon 751. Now, that's the same canon I've been citing all along, the whole time. And now here you have a bishop doing the same thing. In fact, an archbishop doing the same thing and saying, yes, this canon applies to people in this category, people who are denying that Francis is the Pope. The penalty for which is provided for in Canon 1364.1, and which entails expulsion from the consecrated life, so from the religious life, among other penalties. Canon 751 defines schism as the rejection of subjection to the supreme pontiff or of communion with the members of the church subject to him. So what does it mean whenever a person is saying Francis isn't the Pope? Well, among other things, they are certainly rejecting subjection to the supreme pontiff because they don't even recognize that he is the pontiff to begin with. So it's most certainly the sin of schism. And again, we can distinguish between the sin of schism and the crime of schism. The sin of schism is something internal. Crime becomes something that becomes a little bit more manifest when it's made public. And that then triggers a response from the ordinary, which is what we're seeing here by the bishop or archbishop. The archbishopric of Burgos established a period of 10 calendar days from receipt of the decree to appear before the court. That reminds me of, what was it, Nestorius got like 10 days? 10 days to appear before the court. If the sister, if the cited sister is not accompanied by a lawyer, one will be assigned to her ex officio, so she can exercise her right of defense by expressing her position on what has taken place. If she does not appear within that period, the corresponding decree will be issued in accordance with the law that will establish the penalty associated with the crime of schism, which is excommunication latae sententiae. So an automatic excommunication. Automatic. It'll then be declared. The group of poor clares responded through their social media account on Instagram, stating that our Catholic manifesto and our subsequent statements are clear and should have had the automatic consequence of our exclusion from the scope of application of canon law. In other words, they're basically saying, why are y'all even bothering us with jumping through these hoops and procedures? I thought it was pretty clear we're excommunicated according to your canon law, so just leave us alone. We're fine with being excommunicated according to you. We don't want to be bothered with this. We don't want to come to your court. Just, I thought it was pretty clear that you would be kicking us out at this point, but evidently not. Well, I think the bishop is giving them every opportunity, exhausting every opportunity for them to change, but clearly they're not going to. In addition, they accuse the Archbishopric of Burgos of having usurped their legal representation by accessing the administration of the properties and the control of the bank accounts, to which we stopped having access on June 4th. Well, are they really entitled to that? Is that really theirs, or is that actually under the archbishop? But you're starting to see something here, right? Now you're starting to hear about a property dispute. And it turns out that a property dispute somewhat underlies this whole thing. And yeah, sort of predictable at this point. Aren't we seeing that elsewhere? People saying, hey, there's a property issue, and then they start to go astray whenever they don't like the outcome of a decision of a bishop. We're seeing that a lot lately. Presence of the Archbishop's envoys in Belorado. On May 29th, the Holy See appointed Ikeda as pontifical commissioner. According to the Archbishopric of Burgos, on June 6th, three people sent by the pontifical commissioner visited the monastery of Santa Clara del Belorado in order to establish some line of dialogue and dialogue with the nuns, particularly with the old ones, trying to, you know, trying to bring them in. Hey, can we talk about it? And hey, I appreciate that gesture, but to me, this is, as I've said, a day late, a dollar short. These are discussions that should have been had with the nuns years ago. In fairness to the Archbishop, he's saying he just now found out that they've been harboring these sentiments. But it's a little too late at this point. The delegation included Sister Carmen Ruiz, Secretary of the Federation of Poor Clares, Rodrigo Saiz in representation of the Pontifical Commissioner, and Carlos Ascona, Notary of the Ecclesiastical Court, responsible for transmitting the pertinent notifications of this court regarding the opening of the canonical process corresponding to the declaration of the abandonment of the Catholic Church, and Notary Maria Rosa Garrido. Summarizing the visit, the Archbishopric reported that the former abbess, in fact, let me see if I can pull that up. If it'll Google translate it for us real quick. We'll take a look at that here in a second. The Archbishopric reported that the former abbess of the community, Sister Isabel de la Trinidad, made it known through Sister Belen and Sister Sion that except for Garrido, the others were not well received in the monastery, and that they should leave. That sounds familiar, right? Remember when lawful ecclesiastical authority tried to visit a certain monastery in Texas recently and they weren't welcome? It's all sounding very familiar. For the Archbishopric, both the complaint filed by the Poor Clares against Ikeda, as well as its ratification in the courts, in addition to the response to the June 6th visit, can be interpreted as gestures of hostility that manifest the null intentions of the community to establish any dialogue with the person designated by the Holy See and his team. Yeah, I'd say that. I think you're safe in saying that they don't have any intention of dialoguing. Even so, the pontifical commissioner maintains his desire to build bridges and find appropriate ways to reach a solution. So he's trying. All right. Well, hey, you know what? You can't say they didn't give him every opportunity here. The nuns, for their part, maintained, it is really difficult for us to classify all these events as signs of patience and dialogue. Since the decrees were delivered by hand on June 6th, the deadline for Sister Sion to appear to testify in court is Sunday, June 16th, which is going to be on Sunday. There are 15 nuns left in the Belorado Monastery after the departure of Sister Amparo, who decided to leave last month so as not to belong to that sect. Well, good for her. Good for her. She saved her soul in the process by not joining in with the schism. On May 15th, 10 of the sisters defended their position on television. Right here. Now, unfortunately, it won't play the interview for me. No matter what device I use, won't play it. But we can read a little bit about it here in a moment. They defended themselves on television. Five have not spoken publicly. These are the older ones whom the Archbishopric considers outside the set of Acontis Manifesto and the Schismatic Declaration. Okay. Well, let's see if we can read a couple of these. Archbishopric of Burgos wishes to communicate the events that occurred at noon on Thursday, June 6th, around 2 p.m. They appeared at the monastery of Santa Clara de Belorado, sent by the pontifical commissioner designed by the Holy See, Sister Carmen Ruiz, those three, to carry out these tasks. The assistance of the notary, Mrs. Maria Rosario Garrido, has been requested, who has submitted the appropriate requirements. That was the only one that the nun said was welcome, the notary. Everybody else wasn't allowed. Okay. After being attended by Sister Belen at the lathe and then by Sister Zion in the parlor and requesting an interview with the former abbess, Sister Isabel, transmitted through Sister Belen that except for the notary, the others were not well received in the monastery and should leave it, requiring the presence of a civil guard patrol in case of refusal. The notary is invited to enter in another interior room, and there she delivers the pertinent requirements, both civil and canonical. Sister Carmen Ruiz and Don Carlos Azcona decide to wait outside the monastery. Size waits inside for the arrival of the civil guard patrol, asserting his right as representative of the pontifical commissioner. Patrol appears, and Don Rodrigo identifies himself and shows the documentation that accredits him as the representative of the pontifical commissioner. The patrol indicates that preventive measures will be carried out and that afterwards they will interview the nuns. At that moment, Don Rodrigo leaves the monastery of his own free will after speaking with the civil guard. The complaint against the pontifical commissioner before the national police, its subsequent ratification before the courts of Burgos, and the request for a civil guard patrol in Belorado can be interpreted as gestures of hostility that manifest the community's null intention to establish any dialogue with a person designated by the Holy See. Even so, the pontifical commissioner is trying to find a solution. Now, here is the document posted by the nuns. This is the document sent to them by the archbishop. I think I have, let me see if I can find it. Ah, yes. I did get Google to translate it from the Spanish into the English. And let's take a look at it together. Let me do it this way. Here we go. I don't read Spanish, so Google translated this for me, and let's, you know, see if we can get away with it. It's a little wonky. Burgos, May 31st, 2024, having learned of Sister Isabel de la Trinidad's manifestations of abandonment of the Catholic Church through a so-called Catholic manifesto, dated May 8th, 2024, as well as the letters Brothers in Christ, dated May 13th, 2024, and the request for guardianship to Mr. Don Pablo de Rojas, that's the excommunicated bishop, dated May 8th, 2024, all signed by herself, claiming to be on behalf of all the sisters of the community of the monastery of Santa Clara de Belorado, in addition to a letter of acceptance of guardianship by the aforementioned gentleman, dated May 10th, 2024, expressing rejection of subjection to the Supreme Pontiff and of communion with the members of the church subject to him. That should sound familiar to you at this point, because again, that's Canon 751. I've been mentioning it for several years now in engaging people who say Francis is the Pope. And I've been saying you guys are in schism according to the Cone of Canon Law, Canon 751. And so he's citing Canon 751, whose penalty is provided for in Canon 1361.1 of the Code of Canon Law, and which entails expulsion from the consecrated life. Hereby, and in accordance with Canon 1720 of the Code of Canon Law, Dona Maria Sion de la Trinidad is summoned so that within the period of 10 calendar days from the receipt of this decree, she appears before this court, to which she may go with a lawyer, or one will be assigned to her and can exercise her right of defense by expressing his position or her position regarding the facts to carry out the pertinent procedure in accordance with Canon 1335.1 from the Code for the Declaration, if applicable, of the penalty associated with the crime. After which, without the aforementioned party appearing, the corresponding decree will be issued in accordance with the law. So, they got about five more days, then they're going to be declared excommunicated and released from the religious state. The serious obligation that he has to appear, or that she has to appear, or alleged just cause to excuse herself is noted. It was decreed and signed by the bishop. So, let's move on here. This is the TV interview, I guess they did. I couldn't watch it because I don't know if this was an interview or just a statement on their part. It won't play for me on any device, but we can try to maybe Google Translate some of this stuff right here. Poor Claire nuns have broken with church. By the way, I love this. It says Isabel de la Trinidad, rebel abbess. The rebel abbess is how they identified her on this Spanish television station. Rebel abbess. Poor Claire nuns who have broken with the church. We do not recognize the Vatican. It is a farce. All right. We spoke with the sisters from inside their convent in Belorado. The defense of the priest who is spokesman for the Poor Claire nuns of Belorado, their superiors were trying to humiliate them. See, Tarde R. speaks exclusively with the Poor Claire nuns who have broken with the church. The sisters allow us to enter into their convent and we speak live with them. In Tarde R., we interview those already known as rebel nuns. A group of poor Claire nuns who have broken with the church due to their theological and economic disagreements. We spoke with the Mother Abbess as well as the Poor Claire nuns. They say, for us, the Vatican has been vacant since the death of Pius XII, 1962. Golly, wowzers. We do not recognize the Vatican. It is a farce. There's almost no trace left of the Catholic Church. Now the center is not in God, but in man. We do not believe that the Pope of Rome is Pope. By the way, this is complete heresy. Complete heresy. Because the Sixth Ecumenical Council, this is why I say the Orthodox are also inconsistent. The Sixth Ecumenical Council notes that the Roman See will not defect. And if there hasn't been a pope since 1962, yeah, it's defected. And there haven't been perpetual successors, as Vatican I said there would be. We do not believe that the Pope of Rome is pope. We have a vow of poverty. Now, here it is. The bishop does not give us a penny. And maintaining a convent has many expenses. I thought that was weird. Like, why is money coming up? And then I read something else here that says, the Poor Claire nuns break with the church. The nuns warn in a letter that they will be accused of being heretics and that they join a priest excommunicated or a bishop excommunicated in 2019. Poor Claire nuns of Burgos have broken with the Catholic Church. They've done so in a letter and in their manifesto. The nuns of Belorado break with the Catholic Church of Rome, knowing that they say they will be accused of heresy. The situation, reports the newspaper ABC, has led to the letter that nuns have distributed informing them of their break with the Catholic Church because they feel persecuted. In the manifesto that accompanies the letter, they report that they joined the former bishop, De Rojas, who was excommunicated in 2019 by Izquierda, and whom they considered the legitimate bishop of the Holy Catholic Church. But the underlying issue is more earthly than anything else. The nuns claim that they are blocked from Rome for not wanting to grant us a license to sell the Dario convent. Now we're starting to get to the real issue. Yeah. So it sounds like Rome was not allowing them to sell their monastery. Why did they want to sell it? They wanted to sell this monastery to buy another one. It says, the nuns point to a backdrop of tricks that we have been subjected to in recent years. It is a modus operandi to dismantle traditional communities and keep their properties and sell them. So here they're just promoting that silly propaganda. The Vatican is just against traditional communities and just wants to shut us down and keep our property. In 2020, the nuns from Burgos and Vitoria reached a sale and purchase agreement for $1.2 million. Now, listen to this. In 2020, they reach an agreement. Somebody's going to purchase the monastery for $1.2 million. But no payment has ever been made beyond the initial contribution of 100,000 euros, explains ABC. Until last March, the abbess claimed to have a benefactor who will buy it, but absolute silence in the face of the archbishopric's claim to know about that person. So in other words, they are wanting to sell this. And they say they got a guy who will buy it for $1.2 million, but they won't tell the archbishop or Rome who this guy is. Might that be why they're not willing to let them sell it? Maybe. But you know who it most likely is? From what I can tell, it's this schismatic bishop who wants to buy it. The schismatic bishop. Or somebody representing him. So in other words, in 2020, they began to want to sell their community to the schismatic bishop. And now that Rome won't let them do it, they're mad. Well, look, I totally understand why Rome would say, no, first of all, you won't even tell us who this person is. And then second of all, if it's a schismatic bishop, yeah, that makes sense. Totally get why they would say no. The matter has been in court since the beginning of the month, according to the archbishopric, which warns that the poor Clare nuns of Burgos could commit a crime of schism. However, the archbishopric assures that it tries to mediate the situation. This Monday afternoon, mass was planned as every day. However, the parishioners found the doors of the premises locked tight. Next to the fence, a private property, no trespassing sign, which I did see in another video that I was able to play that was entirely in Spanish. I did see the no trespassing sign. So they're not letting in people to come to their mass, which I would say is a good thing because they're schismatics. And we don't want people going to schismatic liturgies. Not when they have liturgies that are in full communion with the Bishop of Rome. The neighbors who usually attend mass at the Bellarato convent gathered at the doors, and the nuns ended up calling the civil guard because there were people entering the property. The neighbors have said that they have been noticing a strange atmosphere in the convent for some time, but they never imagined that the poor Clares could break with the Catholic Church. That's interesting. A strange atmosphere. Well, here you go. This is in Spanish. Spanish. So unless you speak Spanish, won't pick up on the audio, but you can kind of see some. El motivo es que no obstante toda la jornada solo ha pasado el panadero. Clearly, it's barred off.
Algunos familiares. Aquí vais a poder ver un cartel.
Private property.
Que indica que la propiedad es privada, que prohíben el paso cuando antes todo el mundo podía pasar tranquilamente. Incluso ayer vecinos que vinieron a misa por la tarde no pudieron hacerla. Se encontraron la capilla cerrada.
En el convento de Santa Clara de Belorado, en Burgos, se cocina un lío de padre y muy señor mío.
¿Qué les pasa a las monjas?
Han roto con la Iglesia Católica.
Que no están de acuerdo un poco con la línea que ha tomado la Iglesia Católica desde el Concilio Vaticano II.
Y han colocado el cartel de propiedad privada a las puertas del convento.
¿Qué me dices? Oye, se están poniendo rebeldes.
¿Tendrán algún motivo para eso, digo yo?
El motivo es inmobiliario. Querían comprar y trasladarse a este monasterio de Orduña, en Vizcaya. El dinero necesario para ello pensaban obtenerlo vendiendo otro convento. Pero hace unos meses la abadesa propuso otro plan al obispo. Aseguró que habían encontrado a alguien dispuesto a comprar el monasterio de Orduña por más de 1 millón de euros y cedérselo a las clarisas en usufructo hasta que pudieran adquirirlo. Del comprador no dieron más información. La iglesia investigó y creen que puede estar relacionado con el entorno de Pablo de Roja.
All right, so this is the schismatic bishop right here doing liturgies for them.
Que no comulgan con el Papa.
Y además, excomulgado. En ese momento, la Santa Sede les prohíbe cualquier operación inmobiliaria. Las monjas se rebelan contra el Papa.
Ese señor no es ni sacerdote. Es un simple seglar laico.
Y deciden encomendarse a la justicia terrenal.
Las monjas clarisas se han entregado a Pablo Rojas.
They love external forms more than Christ's church. They would rather break communion with Christ's church to allegedly preserve some external traditions and external forms of piety. That's what you see here.
A Sánchez Franco, aunque las razones podrían ir más allá de la fe.
Es prácticamente seguro que el benefactor del que hablaba la abadesa para comprar los conventos tiene que ser o bien este hombre o bien alguien recomendado.
Es el fundador de una secta que compara al gobierno con el del Frente Popular.
El mismo Frente Popular que en 1934 dio el golpe de Estado.
Se declara obispo católico, se viste como tal y camina bajo palio.
Que lo que hace es denunciar a todos los papas posteriores a Pío XII, cree que el Concilio Vaticano II es el germen de todos los males.
Esto es lo que decía a nuestras cámaras en 2008 sobre la herejía de los curas.
Porque no tienen la intención de hacer lo que la Iglesia hace.
Años después fue excomulgado, por lo que no tiene una iglesia propia. En este barrio del centro de Bilbao está su última vivienda.
Raro en el sentido que iba este obispo por la calle.
Pues llamaba la atención porque no sabías dónde estaba, dónde tenía una iglesia.
Pide dinero en sus redes sociales y santifica a Franco.
¡Viva Cristo!
You hear the guy. ¡Viva Cristo Rey! At the end of there. That's a comment worth grabbing here. How do you guys keep up your joy with all this stuff? It's so upsetting. All I can do is pray. Yeah, I remember a time when, you know, I kind of felt that way. And here's what I would suggest. If that's how you're currently feeling, I would ask step away. Step away from social media and YouTube. Even Reason and Theology, if you're starting to experience that by seeing some of this stuff discussed here. Step away. And focus on prayer. Focus on scripture and going to church. Do that for a good month. Then come back. And I think you'll be better in a better state to handle some of this stuff that we discuss in Reason and Theology or elsewhere. So if you're finding yourself in that position, that is what I would recommend. Stay away from social media for a little while until you've maybe cultivated a different position. It's understandable. Been there. I think that what has helped me is looking through church history and seeing how bad things have been for about 2,000 years. You kind of get to the point where you're no longer surprised at anything. And you see how bad things can get. And if you still have faith in the promises of Christ at that point, then, you know, this stuff really isn't going to get to you anymore. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still a certain extent to which it's frustrating. It's frustrating seeing people claim to be pious while breaking with Christ's church. You can see them clearly trying to live according to a particular form of the Roman Rite, however good it may be, and I think it's good in and of itself. They're trying to cling to those things rather than communion with the successor of St. Peter and communion with Christ's church. And so they're missing the forest for the trees. And they're holding on to certain forms of piety rather than the substance of the faith, and that is going to be certainly not leaving Christ Church. And so, yeah, it can be a little frustrating to see that, but to be honest, it doesn't rob me of peace like it used to years ago. So that's what I would recommend. If it's robbing you of your peace, step away for a little bit and get in a better state, get in a better position. And when you come back, you'll be in a better place to be able to grapple with some of this stuff. Okay. Let's see. Thank you, Michael. My own friends are falling for it as well. Been there. Hey, most of the friends that I had have really cut me off. And many of the people that I used to even create content with have separated themselves from me, not the other way around, as people will say online. It's the other way around. People have severed ties from me and separated themselves from me. Why? Because I defend the magisterium. You know what? That's a hill worth dying on for me. I'll die on that hill. I'm going to stick with the magisterium. Thank you for all you guys. Sometimes it does rob me, but I got to remind myself exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've seen way worse parts than this in church history. It could be way worse in some aspects. So, yeah. Kind of sometimes when I read some of that stuff, I just think, man, I'm glad I don't live back then. thank you for the super chat. Well, she can always become Orthodox instead. I'm converting to that, and this Pope has shared dozens of Catholics into Eastern Orthodoxy. Okay, so here's the problem with that. First of all, you need to get my book, Answering Orthodoxy, because it's going to show you why you're leaving Christ Church for a schismatic community. So you'll want to get that book right over here, Answering Orthodoxy. Is going to show you why you're wrong. What you're doing is you're leaving Jesus's church to try to fix an issue that you're frustrated with. Number two, you're going to a community that is contradicting itself because it claims to hold to the sixth and seventh ecumenical councils. But the sixth and seventh ecumenical councils affirm papal indefectibility and papal primacy, something they currently reject. In addition to the fact the Seventh Ecumenical Council gave a pass to the Filioque, which many Orthodox now say is heretical, they're contradicting themselves. They have a self-defeating position. And so what you're doing is you're trying to run away from problems, and you're just going to be running into the exact same problems within Eastern Orthodoxy. I've documented that well on this channel. So thank you for your super chat, but if there was a way I could refund it to you, I would give it back to you, because I don't agree with what you're doing or how you're trying to promote schism on this channel. But unfortunately, YouTube doesn't let me issue refunds. Maholville P, poor Claire's with vow of poverty that flight for real estate so much that they will accept excommunication if they don't get their real estate deal. It's the way it comes across. Cactoid Jim, past the 2-year mark of lurking while working during the day. Yeah, that is so awesome. Congrats on the 2-year mark, and good to see you here. We got to catch up soon, by the way. So, okay. Well, the Orthodox, yeah, there's problems there with internal schisms going on more and more in Orthodoxy right now. So, yeah. I didn't leave Christ. So yes, you did. You can say you don't, but that's what every schismatic in the world says. Every schismatic in the world thinks that they haven't left Christ or his church, but they have. You just redefine what the church is to say that you're not leaving Christ, but you have. Christ and his church, you've left it. If you become Eastern Orthodox, you've left it, and you're in schism, and you need to go to confession, because schism will send you to hell. That is not only scripture, that's also apostolic tradition. Even Orthodoxy agrees that schism sends people to hell. They just redefine what schism is, and they don't really even have a set agreement on what it is. I found them at an Antiochian Orthodox parish just 15 minutes away from my home. You might find Christ in the Eucharist there, but you will not find the fullness of the church that he established. That's the problem. See again how you redefined what the church is to simply be the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist? Well, look, there's old Catholics who have that. There's some Anglicans who have it. There's some Oriental Orthodox and Assyrian Church of the East who have it. Why aren't you going there? You know why you're not going there? Because you don't even believe the ecclesiology you're trying to espouse here on this channel. So you don't know what you're talking about. I've seen a million like you. I've been down this path. I'm telling you, you're making the wrong move. But you might be one of those people that has to learn the hard way instead of learning from other people. And so be it. But if you want to be wise and you don't want to make that mistake and learn the hard way, and you want to learn from other people's mistakes, get this book, because that's why I wrote it. I made that mistake, the mistake that you're making right now. I made that. And I wrote in this book why it was a mistake. Take it from somebody who's been down that road. He says, Michael, after leaving the trad movement and an SSVX religious order, your videos have helped me so much in healing our relationship with the church, dealing with trad friends. God bless you. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. You've embraced real traditional Catholicism. Traditional Catholicism is maintaining communion with and assenting to the magisterium. And you'll notice what all these fake trads have in common. They dissent from the magisterium. Glad to hear about that. Albanian, thank you for that super chat. Agreeing with you. I'm reading your book. That's awesome. Thank you so much for the super chat. Thank you for defending against set of contest. I know it made me very fearful. Let us pray that these sisters realize their errors. I know Claire and Francis wouldn't judge God's providence. They certainly wouldn't endorse what these poor Claire nuns are doing. There's a gorgeous Antiochian church next to my house, but I won't leave the church founded on the rock. Right. Sadly, seeing this come from Spain is not a shock. The Palmarian Catholic schismatics have been there for decades. Gosh, that community is wild. You ever looked into the history of them? Wild and scandalous stuff. Shell, thank you for the super chat. Real trad Catholicism is fish fry Fridays. That's funny. That's hilarious. Vatican II says Muslims are somehow equal to us. No, it doesn't. You haven't read Lavicencia. Stop it. Makes no sense, but I'm not going to give up. I'm glad that you're not giving up, but that's not what it says in Lavicencia, paragraph 16. Stop. I guess it's time for us to do another video on Lavicencia. I don't know how many I've done at this point, but maybe it's time to do another. Is meeting for online for a church session considered satisfying Hebrews 10:25? Look, if you have access and the ability to go in person, then you need to do that. If you don't, then you're dispensed from the obligation. You still need to hallow the day, sanctify the day with prayers, and yeah, maybe you can join in with online stuff. But if you have the ability to go to a parish in person, you need to do that. Dub says, you can't tell me that Vatican II doesn't say that Muslims are equal with us. Yes, I can tell you that. I can tell you that, and I will tell you that again. You haven't read Lavicencia 16. Again, stop. Stop. Again, go and read paragraph 14 through 16 of Lumen Gentium and come back and ask me the question again, reformulating your question. By the way, I'm going to have to start saying Muslims now that you spelled it that way. That caught my attention. Muslims. Muslims. Let's see. I will find it and post the link. Listen, I've read the entirety of Vatican II. I've read all of the documents of Vatican II. You're not going to find something in there I haven't read. It's kind of like those people who tell me, read the Bible, Michael. It's in the Bible. I've read the Bible over 10 times cover to cover. You're not going to tell me something that I haven't seen already in there. So what I'm telling you is, and you notice I just cited to you from my memory where they're discussed. Now you have Nostra Aetate, and you also have Lumen Gentium that discusses them. And it nowhere says they're equal to us. And what do you even mean by equal to us? But there's no meaningful way in which that would be true anyway. So again, go and read it and then come back and maybe reformulate your question then. But don't insist on something that I know isn't there. Hey, Michael, I read today on the news that the Pope wants to downgrade his supremacy in a new Vatican document. That's funny. Well, number one, he can't because it's dogmatic, right? Number two, he's affirmed papal primacy. Number three, I don't see him even attempting to say anything remotely close to that. What you might see, however, from Pope Francis, which I would certainly welcome, is being less hands-on with the Church of the East, churches of the East. And that actually would be a good thing. So if that is what he's talking about, and again, we don't know because we haven't seen the document yet. And by the way, it's not him who's going to be saying it anyway. From what I understand, it's a dicastery. I don't know if he's signed off on it yet. We'll find out soon. But pay attention to that point. It might not even be something he signed off on. We'll see. But what you'll likely get from him is what he's noted all along. And when it comes to the churches in the East, a little less hands-on than within his own patriarchate. Which, by the way, he brought back the title Patriarch of the West just recently. Okay. Oh, and by the way, again, don't believe everything that you hear concerning these things. You'll hear all kinds of spins. What we'll do is we will go through the document together whenever it comes out. So stay tuned for a future episode. Taylor Marshall's commentary on Lumen Gentium was brilliant 9 years ago, but now it's said of a contism, why did he change to cater to his new audience? I think he became deeply confused, and that's why he changed. And I think his audience followed him in that journey. But it's on the internet, Darth says. Well, you got me there. Dub, if you would, Google search Vatican II Muslims. Dub, you're killing me here. Dub, I've read Vatican II. It doesn't say that they're equal to us, okay? That's not what it says. You're just not going to learn here, are you? I'm just going to have to keep calling you out. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Okay, well, Dove, you're not getting it. Again, I've read it. I've covered it many times here. It doesn't say that. It does note, however, that Muslims can be related to the people of God in certain ways. And notice I use the phrase related because that's the term it uses. It doesn't say they're equal to us. Stop it. Stop. It claims they are of the promise of Abraham. So now you're changing what you said. Before you said equal to us. Now you're starting to change it. Right. Now you're getting closer. Because now you're actually starting to look into paragraph 16, are you not? Right. NYM Gray says, I'm not getting the point. It's like an inside joke. You talking about Dub? He says, no, I'm not. All right, you're trolling at this point. You're clearly trolling. Go and read it. We should do a Q&A stream soon. Yeah, that'd be fun. We can get more of these. We didn't have more trolls. You're trying to tell me something about Lumen Gentium that I know isn't in there. It's probably, hey, I want to be more humble as a Pope, trad mine. He's changing his role, heretic. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. They're not of the body. They will follow the will of Landru. What is Landru? I don't know Landru. Have you seen Wood and Apostate Prophets basically debunk the whole Islam as an Abrahamic religion? I haven't seen that video. Let's see. Have I heard of Servant of God, Louisa? No, I have not. Star Trek. So it was a Star Trek reference? Landru, Star Trek. Oh, because this is like the original series. I don't watch that. I told y'all. Original series is garbage. Stop. No. No. TNG all the way here. By the way, Michael, your shoulders are wider than wax Vin Diesel. You made him look weak. Y'all saw that picture? Me next to the life-size Vin Diesel. Let me go to it. Well, I've always noticed, like, people that I've seen on, you know, TV or pictures like that, I always notice in person they're a lot smaller than I realized. But here it is. I said, look who I ran into. Obviously, I didn't run into him. It's wax Vin Diesel. Looks like he's almost as tall as me. He's on this little thing. I don't know how much that is. Maybe a couple of inches, but almost as tall as me. So, yeah, there it is. Heresy Stewardess says TNG is garbage. No, the original series is garbage. TNG is way better. What are you talking about? Man, I'm telling you, I can't even finish the original series. They're so bad. TNG for life, yes. We need to get a tattoo of that, right? Maybe I could put it right here. DS9, yeah, I like DS9. It's good. We got to talk about the tattoos. What's the story? I think I talked about them on one video. Michael, look, he jacked it. That's funny. TNG is well crap. Well, okay, there is some truth to. They do have the woke message in there before woke in some episodes. You're right. Like, Gene Roddenberry clearly was woke before woke. I agree with you on that. That being said, it's still a great show, and it's way better than the original series. And you know, it's the same writer, right? It's the same guy. Although Gene, I think, died during TNG, but effectively same guy. Stargate SG-1 is good. I've seen it the whole thing through once. It's good. Michael on a second steroid cycle. No. I could never imagine taking steroids. Here we go with the overused woke term. I get it. I mean, it was woke before woke. It really was. Michael's on gear. I don't know what gear is. Only if you spell life as L-Y-F-E. Right. TNG for life and do that as a tattoo. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. No OG series, no TNG. No to both? Come on now. That's not an option. You got to choose one. let's see. My brother is the white version of Telk. Oh, like Teal'c? I thought it was Teal'c. Like the guy from Stargate, right? I don't know what talc is. Michael is natty. Y'all are using all these terms. I don't know. Now I got to Google natty urban dictionary. See what this means, according to the young whippersnappers. A gym goer. No, no. Teal'c. Yes, yes. Now he's way, way more defined. No way, not physically possible. Natty means not on roids. Okay. A gym goer who trains hard with heavy weights and follows intelligent programming. Yeah, okay, no. Genetics, yeah, probably just genetics. I'm almost like an identical twin with my dad. People often confuse us. Oddly enough, I've looked in the mirror and seen my dad and got confused with myself. I'm not joking. I've seriously looked in the mirror before and thought it was my dad. I look just like him. I don't know if I sound like him, but I do look just like him. I'm a little bit taller. I think just a little wider, but we're like, I'm like the spitting image. So I'm sure I get it from him. Pope Defenders, greetings. Good to see you, Bikato. All right, that's going to do it. Yeah, we can do a Q&A stream soon. That'd be fun. Everybody hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Again, check out my book over here, Answering Orthodoxy, if you haven't read it already and you're thinking about going to Eastern Orthodoxy. Check that out because it's going to give you some serious things to consider before you make that kind of decision. All right, y'all. I will see y'all soon. And like I said, we will cover that document. I think it comes out on Thursday. So in 2 days from the Vatican, I believe. I think it's on Thursday. Whenever it comes out, we will cover it. And that's the document that we'll be talking about, the papacy. So stay tuned for more on that. All right, we'll see y'all later. God bless. Hey, friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com.